All right. Thank you guys for your service and for the ones who are coming on. Okay, here's what I want to do this morning. I want to finish what I started last week. All right. Last week, I shared with you four words, which led to four statements. If you can grab a hold of these four words and these four statements, 2018 is going to look amazing for you. Because what I'm asking to do is to grab a hold of these things that are Christ-like. That we see Jesus doing these things. And then he uses his word to radically transform us as we walk in obedience, as we walk into deeper waters. I shared with you last week the four words. The four words we talked about last week were listen, speak, honor, and love. Those four words. The first one was speak before you listen, and we talk through that a lot. We see that in the gospel, how Jesus related to people. We would listen before we speak. Listen before we speak. That's what Jesus did. And as he would listen, it would draw people out. So we talked about that. James 1:19. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. And then we talked about when we do speak, speak words that build up. Let 2018 be, let it be the year of encouragement for you, to encourage others. Speak words of encouragement. Speak words that build others up. And then the third was honor, that we want to live this year and every year, but especially this year, we honor God faithfully with our life. Isaiah 43 talks about that we were made by God and for the glory of God. So that's why we were created, which biblically, as we talked about last week, that's what the Bible says. We were created for the glory of God. Then that's how we should live our life, which leads me, as I said last week, to ask two questions then. If we were created by God and for God to live for the glory of God, then we should ask ourselves constantly two questions. Number one is, what I'm about to say going to bring glory to God? Is what I'm about to say going to glorify God? And the second is, what I'm about to do, is that going to bring glory to God? That's why we're created, is to glorify God, to honor God with our life, honor God faithfully. The last word, and this is where I want to finish today, was the word love, and we talked about loving others graciously, that we are called to love others graciously, and that's where I want to go back to and finish today that, and then we'll talk about the theme for this year, for 2018. But if you have your Bibles, I'll jump around a lot. But I'm going to start in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus is speaking. He's talking about the new commandment. And here's what he says. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And here's how we're supposed to do it. Just as I have loved you. So that's what we're going to talk about in just a minute. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He didn't say they'll know you're my disciples if you can just memorize so much scripture. They'll know you're my disciples if you come to church every week. They'll know you're my disciples if you pray a lot. Now, all those things are good and all those things are needed. But Jesus says the way they will know that you're my disciples is the way you treat each other. Right here. Right here. The way that you love one another. So I think he's talking about the way we love each other, not even the way we love lost people. He's saying, is they're going to know you belong to me by the way you all treat each other, by the way you love one another. If, he says, which means we may choose not to do it, which means then we're not sending that message, that witness that we belong to him. by the way that we love one another. So how does that look? How do we do that? And that's what I want to talk about today. I'm going to give you six things, and then we're going to finish with Colossians 3, which I'll talk about the theme. Next week, February 4th, I know on your bulletin there, it's nicely printed. I got the new theme on the back there. The book Deeper. It's called Deeper. I'm going to call the series Deeper. It's a verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 John. I'm looking forward to that. And it says that series will start, I think, Sunday, February 4th. So you may just want to cross that out and put February 11th, okay? Because we're not going to start next week. I think next week we're going to talk. So when I talk to you in a minute about Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. The only way you can do that and fully live that verse, that's what we're talking about for this year. The only way you can do that and understand it is if you start in verse 1 to understand by the time you get to verse 15. All right? So there in Colossians 3, the first two verses, if you don't do those two things, you're not going to experience verse 15. Okay, it sets up the whole thing, the whole chapter, right? So I can't just take 15 and say, here's what the verse is, right? So that's going to take more time. So let's go back, though, to this week, and let's talk about John 13, verse 34. How do we love people as Christ loves us? What do we need to do? This is real practical stuff, okay? Now, this can be in the context of your kids. Some of you are going to think of it that way. Like, how do we love people graciously? How do we bring out the best in others by loving them as Jesus did? Right? You might think of this in the context of your kids. This works well. These are the things you need to do to bring the best out in your kids. It can work across the board, though. It can work with your spouse. It can work with your friends, with your coworkers. In whatever context, you know, God kind of places in your heart there. So here's the first thing. First thing is this. If we're going to love as Jesus did, draw out the best in people to love graciously, the first thing we have to do is we have to learn to accept people for who God made them to be, number one. Accept people for who God made them to be. Now, I want to say this. That doesn't mean that if people are walking in disobedience to the scriptures, we go, well, that's just who they are. That's not what I'm talking about at all. It's all within the context of scripture, right? But in terms of their personality, the things that they like, that don't, just the way they handle things, respond to things, with our kids, it's going to be different than the way you do it. And here's the deal. Guess what? Secret. That's okay. God didn't make your kids to be a carbon copy of you. Now, there may be some things that are similar to you, but you accept them for who God made them to be. Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Now here, church, for the glory of God. So that fits perfect with that. For the glory of God. This is the way that we glorify God, right? By accepting people for who they are. With our kids, they are not you. They are different. They might be similar in some ways, but they're different. They're not going to handle every situation exactly the way you would handle it. They are learning. They are growing. God made us all different, and sometimes as a parent it might drive you crazy because they didn't do it the way you did it. But we give them that freedom, right? That brings out the best. That's a way to be show love graciously to them. 1 Corinthians 13, love does not demand its own way. This is the way you have to do. God never intended our kids to be exactly like us. We affirm them. We affirm their uniqueness. We encourage them to be who God made them to be. Now, that being said, I want to reiterate again, I'm not saying they walk outside the boundaries of the scriptures and we say, well, that's just who they are, right? So when it comes to the issue of spirituality or religion even, we did not give our four kids freedom on that issue. We did not say, hey, choose whatever you want. When it comes to religion, man, look, guys, we want you to make your own choice. Are you kidding me? No way. Now, some people will say, but you know what? I don't want to cram it down their throat, man. I want them to make their own choice. I want them to do their own thing. And I say, really? I don't. I do not. No, I do not. I'm going to make that choice for them. Now, I know this kind of hits some of you the wrong way. All right, and that's okay. You can email me. It's pastorguy@gracepointden.com. And I'm going to say, this is the way, walk in it. I'm not going to give them that choice. You know why? There is no other choice than the gospel. That's why. There's no other choice. Now, here's the deal. They go out there in the world. Let me tell you, there's actually a lot of choices, and there's some crazy stuff going on. And guess what? It's not going to get any better. And your kids are hearing it. Man, just some bizarre, crazy stuff. And there's Christian kids that are buying it. They're buying it, man. You know why? Because I talked to their parents. When there's been a major crash or a major crisis or major, right? So we're saying, hey, yes, this is the way, walk in it. These are the scriptures. This is what we as a family believe in. This is what you believe. This is what you'll believe. I know it's easy to say, well, you're a pastor, you got to do that. No, my dad wasn't a pastor. He said, this is when we go to church. It's not, we never had a vote in the family. Are we going to go to church today or not, right? I never asked that question. If I asked that question, I better duck and run. We went to church, man. We were in there. And there were times, I'm a teenager, you know, there were times I'm like, are you kidding me? Good night. Let me tell you something. Even at 55 years old, there have been times when I've said to my father, thank you. Thank you. Had I been left to my own decision, I do not think I would be Pastor Dave. I mean, come on. I'm a teenager. I think I know it all, but I didn't. But I didn't realize it at the time. Until later. So yes, you know, accept them for who they are. I mean, there's uniqueness within that healthy boundary, right? And there's some things like that issue where we're not up for debate. My conviction. But accept them for who they are. Number two, here's the second thing. Learn to trust them with responsibility. If you want to bring the best out of your kids, bring the best out in coworkers or people that work for you or friends, trust them with responsibility. Obviously, you got to be wise with this, right? You got to be smart with this. But this is why you build confidence in them. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love bears all things, believes all things. So I'm gonna choose to believe in them. I'm gonna trust them with responsibility. We all need to be trusted. There's wisdom there again, but we need to be trusted. I remember the very first time that I got the opportunity to preach in big church. I was at First Baptist Church of Grapevine years ago, 1988. I came down here. And my first job was at First Baptist Church of Grapevine. And the Lord opened all kinds of doors for 9 years on that church. I stayed at the same church and just, he opened this door and then I did this job and this job. He just opened doors for me. And then once I finished my master's degree and I was looking at maybe the next step, pastor came to me and he said, hey, Rick Langberg, who's a great man. I was with him for 9 years. He's a mentor of mine, really taught me about ministry. He said, Dave, I'd really love for you to stay and be associate pastor, you know? And I said, man, that'd be great, you know? I said, I'd love that. So I learned more about pastoral ministry, and so I served under him. And I remember it wasn't, about a month after I started that position. Now, I had never preached at church. I mean, I hadn't even written a sermon. I was doing all kinds of other stuff on church staff at that point. I've never preached. And so I always thought, man, that would be so cool one day. It's so great. What a great opportunity to preach. Pretty big church in 1,200, 1,300. It was, okay, I had a couple services. It was a great setting. And I thought, you know, someday I'm going to probably get that opportunity. But it's probably a month in or so. And then Rick walks down to my office and he comes in. He says, hey, Dave, I'm going to be out June 9th. Man, I'd love for you to preach. Can you preach for me? And I started to hyperventilate a little bit, and I was like that, and we go, oh, yeah, let me get my calendar. I think I'll be here, and so I said, yeah, man, thank you, gosh, yes, I would love to, gosh, you know. And wrote down June 9th, and he said, okay, take care, thanks, man. And he left, and so I picked up the phone and I called Karen. You know, I said, you'll never believe what just happened. Rick came down here and asked me to preach Sunday night, June 9th. I said, I cannot believe that guy. I mean, I just, she said, oh, that's great, that's great. Now, are you sure it's Sunday night? And I was like, are you, well, heck yes it is. I mean, he wouldn't let me up there. She said, well, okay, I'm just saying, you better check on that. And I said, okay, that's probably a good idea. So I hated to walk right down there and go, hey, can I confirm that date again that you gave me 5 minutes ago? So I thought I'd wait a couple hours. So I waited a couple hours. I waited till after lunch, you know, and I was sweating. I was pacing. And I'm thinking, you know, I need to go find out. It's probably that night because he doesn't let anybody preach in the morning. I mean, he's a morning guy. Yeah. And so I went down to his office. I knocked on the door, went in, said, have my stuff, you know, and hey, Rick, just double checking here, man. On the calendars here, I think you said Sunday night, June 9th, right? You want me to preach? I got that down right here. He goes, oh, yeah, Sunday night, June 9th. But also, I also mean Sunday morning. I'm going to be out that morning, too. So if you could preach those two services. He said, you good with that? And I was like, yeah, I got it, yeah. I mean, matter of fact, I wrote it down. I was just making sure. You know, it was 9th, 19th. I didn't hear, you know, okay. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, no problem. Okay, thanks, Dave. You know, and I shut that up. When I shut the door, and I was like, there's this hallway to my office. I started running down there, man. I ran into my office. I picked up the phone. I was hyperventilating. Karen, you never guess. She says, what? I said, he wants me to preach the morning, too. She said, Lord, help us. And I said, the morning and the night. I got to write two sermons, man. Oh, this is awesome. I just on and on. And I was so excited, who's trusting me with this responsibility. That was the first time I ever preached in my life. And listen, the message was 18 minutes long. I'm going to tell you, that church thought it was the best message they've ever heard in their life. I'm not kidding you. They were like crying afterwards. That was awesome. I said, this is because we're short. You know, you all are beating the Methodist to the cafeteria. That's the only thing that you're excited about. They were getting out. I listened to the playback. It was horrible, but they were nice. And it was short. And they loved it. Hey, after that, man, it just showed me how much my pastor, how much he trusted me with responsibility. And that just motivated me to work hard for him, not just on the platform, but off the platform. Because he was so gracious, and he was loving me graciously. Trust people with responsibility. That builds him up. Number three, believe the best about people. Believe the best about people, all right? Now, be wise. I know there's more to these things, too, but sometimes we kind of push that aside, right? So let's, loving people graciously is believing the best about people. Love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things. 1 Corinthians 13:7. So don't start at the negative, you know. Believe the best. Number three, affirm their value. Affirm their value. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient and kind. That's the way that we affirm and love graciously. And that's the way that when we're kind and we're patient, that's the way to affirm people's value, that you value them. And your love, okay, parents, let's go parent mode here, all right? Your love is not dependent upon how well they play on the athletic field. Is it? Or how well they do in the classroom. Now listen, I'm not saying that just let them get D's and let them not play hard and be the best. I'm not saying that at all, man. I'm saying you're going to coach them, you're going to push them, you're going to love them to be the best they can, and then also in the classroom. But be careful that there's a clear distinction that my love was not based on how well my kids performed on the baseball field, right? That they knew there's a balance. I know you want to encourage strongly, right, and love and help them. But what kind of job they choose? My love, your kids need to know, your love is not based on those things. So you're affirming their value. Attention, affection, appreciation. Those are three things. Attention, affection, appreciation. Three things that affirm people. Paul was great at this, writer, most of the New Testament. Man, he was good at affirming people at the beginning of the letters, right? Starts them off with encouragement. Number five is discipline without condemning. Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. But be careful when you discipline or correct, whether it's your children or somebody who works for you. Make sure that in that process, right, you're doing it in love, right? You're showing love graciously. And that's the way you do it, is through discipline and correction, not through ignoring. But you want to make sure with our kids, and probably for me when our kids were, you know, smaller, is that as you're correcting, as you're disciplining, right, if I'm doing it in anger, then there's going to be more sense from my children to receive it as more condemning, right, than it is positive, Right? So I have to be able to separate that emotion. I know it's not easy to do, right? Because the reason I'm having to discipline or correct is because they've done something wrong that's probably upset me, right? Or upset you. So you have that in there. So you have to get to that place, right? Christ-likeness and love graciously is you can separate that, however that works for you, whether that's taking a step back, whether that's taking a walk, whether that's sitting down, whether that's saying, sit here, I'll come back and fight, whatever that is. So you can then, with grace, right, teach truth, right? And then with grace, you can then discipline with truth. Then they're going to receive that. They're going to hear it better, as opposed to if I'm just yelling. I can get conformity, right, when I'm angry. But long term, that's unhealthy, right? And that's not loving graciously, all right? So we're disciplined without condemning. And then the last one is this. Don't ever give up on them. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love endures all things. Don't give up on them. Don't quit. They need you to believe in them. People need encouragers. We need to be their biggest encouragers, especially as parents. Jesus brought the best in people. He loved them graciously. Make that commitment to be that person this year. I'm going to love others graciously. I'm going to love as Jesus loved. Now, this year I mentioned about our theme, and I think it goes well with that, loving others graciously. And as we seek to be Christ-like through the power of God who's transforming us, then we begin to experience, I think, the peace of God. The one verse that I want us to have really as our theme verse this year and the focus for this year. You know, last year was hope, Romans 15:13. This year is going to be peace, the peace of God, Colossians 3:15. Let me read it to you as we kind of draw things to a close. Colossians 3:15. Here's what it says. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, I'm gonna preach this verse next week, but we're going to start in Colossians 3:1 to get down to it, right? So I said to you before, let the peace of Christ rule. The word rule is the same word we use for umpire. So what he's saying is, and there's a lot to this, I don't have time for, let, which means I have a choice in it, right? Let the peace of Christ make the call. Choose the peace of Christ to make the call in this situation. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let me tell you, if you can get to that place, which we can, we're going to talk about it, man, this is going to be an amazing year for you. Because there's a lot of things in this world that will steal your peace. Yet we can be at that place, Colossians 3, that the peace of Christ is going to rule in our hearts. So no matter what comes against us or what comes over us, we choose to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Last year we passed out these bands at the beginning of the year that had hope on there. These are out. If you want one of these, just to remind you, they're out here, these doors and to the left. And I put on there, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I didn't have room for Colossians 3:15 on the outside, so I actually put it on the inside. It's really hard to see. I can't see it, but my daughter, who's much younger, says, yes, it is there. So if you look in there, you can see, just to remind you. But I encourage you, it's not a hard verse. That part of Scripture is not hard to memorize. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And then you wear this just as a reminder. I know that's what I do, especially when I get into those stressful situations. And I want the flesh is going to take me this direction. And I'm going to say, I'm going to let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. Many of you wore them last year, had hope on there, the Romans 15:13. We abound in hope. And it was encouraging to see how the Lord ministered to you. I sat down with Michelle Champion a couple of weeks ago, who's a member of our church. She leads Coats for the Cold and is involved in a lot of different ministries here at our church. And I know she's went through just a difficult year last year. And so I sat down with her a couple of weeks ago, and I just asked her a few questions. She would just maybe share a little bit of her testimony about the faithfulness of God and the hope of God, because she had told me of how the hope, Romans 15:13, the hope had gotten her through last year. And so I sat down with her a couple weeks ago and asked a few questions. So I want to share that video with you, and may you be encouraged by her.
On May 1st, my husband and I separated, and that really rocked my world. But I handled it in a way that I never would have imagined. The first place I went that morning when things went awry, I didn't know where I was going, and I ended up in church. About probably 8 years when we were over on the Mayhill, and I was invited by Michelle Tucker from work, and it was life changing for me, and it was, you know, just came with me and Maddie, and we started coming, and you know, just grew with from there. I think initially was the children. That had been a big focus for me when I had her. It was to find a church where she could be involved. She would learn the word of Jesus. And through that, I just continued to see how all the way up through the student ministry, this is where I wanted her to grow up. At the beginning of 2017, when Pastor Dave shared his message on hope and gave us these bracelets with Romans 15:13, I really felt God calling me to step out. As I said, I've been helping with the kids' church for years. I felt a calling to do something for me. And so 2017 started out as a year for me. I wanted to get involved in the Bible study, the women's Bible study, and Jeremiah was the study of hope. And so it kind of fit together for me. So Romans 15 started out as an inspirational verse for me. And then on May 1st, that's when things went really changed. And at this point, we'd done our Jeremiah study, and we were in the armor of God. And on May 1st, my husband and I separated. And that really rocked my world. But I handled it in a way that I never would have imagined. I met with Jeff. He counseled me and helped me. And from there, the next day I met with Pastor Dave. And just continue to get godly counsel from my friends and my family here at church. The women in my Bible study were great. I didn't let anyone know for a while what had happened. And then I gradually felt the courage to write my prayer requests for my marriage. And the women in that Bible study have been amazing to me. This year, they've all been wonderful, just wrapped their arms around me, prayed over me. And through all of this, Romans 15:13 has just continued to carry me on, to give me hope that, you know, life wasn't over, hope that maybe things would be better. At this point, at the end of the year or the beginning of the new year, we are in the final stages of a divorce. But I had my weak moments, but God has always been there. I felt him and seen him throughout this whole year. I've not reacted in ways in the past I would have thought I would have. I've held on to his love and his hope and his joy and his peace, and I've tried to share that with my daughter as we've gone through this together. And that's what has gotten me to where I am, and now I'm ready for new beginnings in 2018. And again, Romans 15:13, my bracelet is still on my wrist. I've shared it with many people throughout the year. Right after Christmas, I got a book from one of my friends in Bible study called Suddenly Single Mom, and it is a devotional from a Christian woman who went through a divorce that unexpectedly, and it's helping me. It was just encouraging that I got that in the mail, and it just really touched me that that was sent to me. A friend at work had given me a journal called More Love. I put the two together, and I'm doing this devotional with the journal to help me through the struggle. And some of it, as I'm reading it, are things I've been through the process. So it's nice to see, oh wow, I'm not the only one who's gone through that. Other people go through that too. And that I'm not alone. That's helped me. And I posted on Facebook the picture of my bracelet with this book and that I was starting new beginnings in 2018. And the next day, Grace Point's teaser for the new year was new beginnings in 2018. And it was just like, wow, God's put all this together. You know, he didn't mean for me to get a divorce. It wasn't his plan. But he had to know that was going to happen, and he prepared me for that, to get through it. think you are, how alone you may think you are, how unloved you may feel. You're not alone. You're not unloved. God is our Heavenly Father. He's our friend. He's our companion. In the things that I've read this year, He's my husband. He's what I need. He is my provider. And I just pray that you that never forget you're not alone and never lose sight of that hope and that joy that's in God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Michelle. I think that's enough. Let's stand together. Great testimony of the grace of God and the hope in troubled times, the faithfulness of God, and that he is our hope in all things. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's pray as we just take a few moments to kind of reflect this morning on our time of worship, on God's word. And then give you the opportunity just to respond, maybe just right where you're standing, you're praying, you're responding to the Lord. Others may want to come and kneel at the altar, or you may want to pray here, or you may want one of us as pastors, elders, to pray with you, for you, over you, however the Lord leads you. That's just your time to respond to the Lord this morning. Some of you here, maybe you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never prayed and repented of your sin and asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior, and God is drawing you to Him today. We would love the opportunity to talk with you about that, to pray with you, to lead you in that prayer of salvation. We invite you to come in just a moment when we start singing so we can encourage you and walk with you through that prayer of salvation. Maybe other things, like I said, that are on your heart, however the Lord leads you this morning. Father, this is your time. Thank you for your word that never returns void. Thank you for your faithfulness in all things. And we just continue to worship you, humble ourselves and worship you, and thank you for your great faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.